We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the Munkenass St. Louis Honda Mitsubishi Sports Open Line.
Munkenass pre-owned on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
From the stretch, the pitch. Swing and a miss. Grandal strikes out.
I think his work spoke for himself. Outstanding. You know, he art of pitching, and as Michael Walker today. Came out, established his fastball, established his secondary, had a great changeup today. Threw in appropriately, and, you know, disrupted balance and timing. That's what good pitching does. Had great tempo to him, really aggressive, shoulders back, and attack.
On Fox Sports Midwest, after Michael Wacha goes six innings, gets into the seventh and pulled, strikes out 7-2 runs, and the Cardinals beat the Milwaukee Brewers 6-3. Chris Raby on the Munkenass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Going to talk some baseball this hour. John Heyman, our Radio.com MLB insider, going to join me momentarily in our next segment. Then at the bottom of the hour, some more hockey talk with Andy Strickland. We'll get you set for Chili's Week in Hockey with Alex and Amy as well. Blues and Jets tomorrow night. Cardinals winners today. And we've got plenty more baseball and hockey talk coming your way in this 7 o'clock hour of the program. Don't go anywhere. Back in a moment in KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munkenass St. Louis Honda Mitsubishi Sports Open Line.
Munkenass St. Louis Mitsubishi on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
On the line with us now is our Radio.com Major League Baseball insider, John Heyman. John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. We are, about 3 weeks into the season right now. I know you're on the East Coast taking in some Yankee baseball. What stood out to you so far in the teams you've been around and what you've observed over the first short portion of this season?
Well, we certainly had some surprises. On the upside, the Mariners have been fantastic. I don't think anybody foresaw that. I certainly did not. On the flip side, the Red Sox have not been good. It's hard to explain. Maybe a hangover. Not sure. They seem to be healthy, but just not performing. So those are the two biggest surprises, I think, but several more surprises around the game so far.
Yeah, what's up with the Red Sox, and especially Chris Sale? It's pretty remarkable, and I know that the Red Sox used some caution in handling him last year. But what are you hearing about Sale and the level of concern maybe with the Red Sox organization surrounding their ace lefty?
I think it's pretty inexplicable. At this point, certainly the velocity was down for the first three games, but he had hit 97 and was averaging over 95 last night and still got hit very, very hard. So it's rather surprising. He's shocked. He says he's embarrassed. I think the team is shocked. They called up Sandy Leone. I think it's his favorite catcher to try to ease things for him. It didn't work last night. They're going to give it a try in another few days. But I have faith that Sale will come around. If he's going 95 to 97, he's got that great slider. He should be okay in time, but it is quite shocking and hard to explain at this point.
Yeah, and the Yankees, meanwhile, have just about half the team, if not more, on the injured list right now and continue to plug in guys that maybe the average fan isn't familiar with, but have done a pretty good job trying to keep the boat afloat, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're hanging in there, and Aaron Boone's doing a nice job with the team, but boy, they have a lot of good injuries of really good players, Aaron Hicks and Gary Sanchez, Giancarlo Stanton, Severino out, Dellin Betances. So these aren't just any players who are out. These are some of their best players. And obviously we knew Didi Gregorius was going to miss at least half the year to start. that hurt. And then when Tulowitzki went out, they were really thin on the infield and Andujar as well. So it's been pretty amazing to see. There are some years where teams are just snake bit. We will see if that's one of those years for the Yankees. We saw that with Texas several years ago where they just could not avoid the injury bug, and it just decimated them. It's too early to say that's going to be the case for the Yankees, but certainly has put them in a rough spot.
John Heyman is with us, our radio.com MLB insider. Cardinals wrap up a three-game series with the Brewers where they win just one of three, and the story was Christian Yelich. He continues to torment the Cardinals. He's hit now, what, 8 of his 9 home runs this year against St. Louis. How appreciated do you think Yelich is now, MVP notwithstanding last year, John, in kind of the national landscape as one of the emerging superstars in baseball?
Oh, there's no question about that. He is very appreciated. People understand what a big star he is now. When he was traded, the Marlins were trading a guy who's a good all-around player and excellent hitter, but had not shown that kind of power. Of course, he's playing in one of the biggest parks in baseball, Marlins Park. Not easy to hit home runs. Obviously, Stanton didn't show that. Hit 59 home runs that last year that they were all together there in Miami. But Yelich, I think he's grown the confidence. He's in a better park for him in Miller Park. He loves to be on a winning team. It's all come together for him, and that's one of the best trades we've seen over the past 10 or 15 years. I know Miami's taking some heat for it, but I would look at this and say that they traded that Stanton deal. They were able to trade that contract. I think they did that at the right time. That's a big contract, and got out from under most of that contract, and they traded Ozuna, and obviously Ozuna looks good this year. Did not burn them last year too much. They got Alcantara back, who could be a good pitcher. Potential's there. So I don't blame them for that. But obviously Miami's taking a lot of heat for trading Christian Yelich. They got four guys with potential, but no definite. I think they were counting on Lewis Brinson, but he has not been able to hit at the major league level yet. So it's been a rough trade from their standpoint, but Milwaukee now has one of the best hitters and one of the better power hitters in the game, as you guys well know in St. Louis.
Yeah, it really is just a shame to think about. And obviously, first and foremost, just a tragedy. But, you know, if Jose Fernandez had not tragically passed away, then what would have been and what that team could look like if they had kept that outfield together and had him in that market at the front of that rotation?
They certainly have some big stars. And, you know, there are teams that can win. That are a little top-heavy, and so they tried to keep it together for last year that Jeffrey Loria was owning the team and made some moves. They spent money on Wei-Yin Chen. That obviously did not work out. The $75 million, wow, that's a lot of money for what they got there. They had a debate. You know, all the baseball people got together and said, you know, should we still try to go for it? Obviously, the loss of Jose, tragic on many levels, but certainly for the team, just decimating. But they felt they would try to go for it, piece things together, and try to win one last time. And it didn't quite work out for them that way. But then, of course, they got new ownership that came in, and at that point, they did what any new ownership would have done. Because, you know, I know that there were some people clamoring and saying, if you get two pitchers, maybe you'll be okay, but they were probably more than two pitchers away. I think that was kind of an unrealistic hope, and I think they did the right thing generally. Obviously, the Yelich trade doesn't look so great right now, but I think for the long run, they needed to move on and start anew.
Final couple minutes with our radio.com MLB insider, John Heyman, before he gets back to watching a little baseball. John, I wonder about that Brewers team and the National League Central, if we could see them be pretty aggressive this year, if they need to add to their pitching, and if there's a team that would have more upside in terms of the lineup they have, the bullpen they have, and some of the assets they had to add to their rotation potentially midsummer this year.
Yeah, I think the Brewers are an excellent team. Obviously, with Yelich, that's a big help. I think their lineup, top to bottom, is one of the top two in the National League. You know, I would say I put the Dodgers there, and I think the Cubs are fairly close, but I would say the Dodgers and the Brewers, the two finalists in the National League last year, the top two lineup. That's kind of why I like Milwaukee this year. They lost some pieces in the bullpen, some big pieces. Knebel, Jeffress now just coming back. Obviously, they have Hader, who's probably the best reliever in the league. They've been able to piece it together in that rotation without big names. They've got some young guys now that will help them. But I think it's very possible that they can add. They are a team that's done some adding late. They signed Kyle Loesch late in spring 1 year. They are willing to do that, and they're willing to sign guys on one-year deals and give up draft choices. They did that with Yasmani Grandal. So I would look for them to dabble with Kimbrel, which has been reported, and perhaps even Keuchel. They have not seemed as interested in the rotation as they have in the bullpen, but I wouldn't be shocked if either guy wound up with the Brewers.
Yeah, I'll wrap up with those two guys. Just, I think, unprecedented territory for at least fans that are watching this play out, or I guess not play out. What is the latest, and do you really think that either of those guys would consider sitting out the entire season, or do you think they'll end up with someone at some point, and when?
Yeah, they absolutely will not sit out the entire season. I will be stunned if that happens. At this point, I think the question is, will they sit out until the draft? Because after the draft, there's no more draft pick attached to the
right
player, which raises the value a little bit. And even that, I would say probably not, because at this point, I would say they're looking at the short-term deals more than the big, big long deals that people were expecting for them when it started. So, I think that they need to sign sometime in the coming weeks to do that. To wait another month and a half for the draft to be over, I think, would be a greater detriment than the benefit of not having that draft pick attached. So I think in coming weeks, and I couldn't predict the time, and it's tough to predict the team as well, I think Keuchel and Kimbrel will sign. It appears that Keuchel is willing to do a short-term deal, probably a one-year deal. So if you do that, you better sign fairly soon. You don't want one-third of the season gone. If you're signing a one-year deal, then you're going to prorate it. It's not going to be anything like what you really think you should get. So we haven't really heard whether Kimbrel has lowered that price yet. At one point, he was asking to be paid like the best reliever of all time, which is what they've said he is. Statistically, you could make that case. Obviously, those of us who are in New York think Mariano Rivera is the greatest reliever of all time, and he did get into the Hall of Fame unanimously, so I'm going to stick with that. I still think Kimbrel is really good. Somebody should sign him, and whoever does sign him should be pretty happy about it, because he is it. Very talented pitcher, even if he's not the greatest reliever of all time.
Very well said. John Heyman, our radio.com MLB insider. John, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Great talking to you guys. See you later.
That's John Heyman talking a little baseball. If you're the Cardinals, would you call Dallas Keuchel right now? I think the rotation that was expected to be the strength of the team. I was doing a radio hit on another station, actually with my guy Brett Norsworthy, down in Memphis on Sports 56, my old station, not just another station, my old station, my roots. And he was like, what's your one concern or your one biggest question? And I'm like, well, to this point, it's the rotation, because not that it's been terrible and not that I think Miles Michaelis and Jack Flaherty will struggle the rest of the year. And Waka and Waino have been great. But that was supposed to be the strength coming into this year. Dakota Hudson wins that exciting battle. Really, the one battle, the one competition in camp for the fifth starter spot. And now he hasn't been that great either. So that would be my one concern. And especially with questions about Reyes and Martinez, I don't know. Heyman just said that he thinks Keuchel would take a one-year deal. If you're the Cardinals, would you say, yeah, 1 year? $18 million, basically the qualifying offer. Let's go. Be nice to have a lefty in the rotation. Talk a little hockey. Andy Strickland joins me next.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
This is playoff hockey. You know, you got to stay with it. And, it goes into overtime. And, you know, we get the lead there and, you know, it looked good, but, they made a nice play in the goal.
What did you think of your
coach? How did Mike?
He played a great game.
Yeah, on Jordan Binnington overall, what'd you think?
He played a great game.
Berube, a man of, I don't know, what's less than being a man of few words? A man of word. Craig Berube is a man of word. He was good. It's the Munkin' Ass St. Louis Honda Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you, hanging out until 8 o'clock tonight. That's when Chili's Week in Hockey takes over. Game 5 tomorrow night, Blues and Jets in Winnipeg. Andy Strickland joins us on Sports Open Line. Of course, Game 5 is tomorrow night, Blues and Jets in Winnipeg. You can hear it right here at 7:30. Andy, of course, part of the Fox Sports Midwest broadcast team. Also, you can hear him on 590 The Fan. Strick, what's up, man?
All good, Chris. Great to be with you.
It's great to be with you. Give me a level of your sense of the panic meter, or just the general disposition of Blues fans as the series heads back to Winnipeg, tied at two games apiece?
What it should be, or what it currently is?
Both. What it currently is, and then my point was going to be what it then should be in your eyes.
Yeah. I think the panic meter is somewhat high. I mean, that's the anxiety.
Shocking.
That's the anxiety that comes with being a Blues fan over the course of however old you are, waiting for that, you know, elusive Stanley Cup. And this year, obviously, the way the Blues played down the stretch, you felt pretty good about their chances heading in, and looked at them as maybe a sneaky contender coming out of the Western Conference. But hey, you make the playoffs out of this division in the Central, you know you're going to have to face a good team, and that's exactly what Winnipeg is. You know, they didn't play well down the stretch. They didn't play well, at least get to their true game in the first couple of games of the series, but we saw it in games 3 and 4. And maybe getting away from home ice and the pressure that comes with being in Canada, you know, really help them kind of find and reach their identity as a team, which we saw the last couple of games. And Jordan Binnington was spectacular. But, you know, getting back to the fan base, there's no question there's some certain anxiety, probably some anxiety that belongs. You know, when you look at the situation the Blues were in when they came home, and now the situation they're in heading back to Winnipeg, all knotted up at two games apiece. But if it's high now, we'll see where it's going to be at the end of the night tomorrow.
You know, and part of that, I think, Strick, is just because of the nature of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And this is something that I've asked players, coaches, broadcasters, but it's unlike anything in any other sport. And yeah. I probably sound like a broken record for people that have heard this, but like, it can be the seventh game of the World Series and, you know, the first inning is still the first inning, right? Or game 7 of the NBA Finals and the first quarter is still the first quarter. It's just, it's basketball. But in hockey, it can be the first game of the first round of the playoffs, and the emotion and the pace, we always hear weathering the storm, the emotion, the pace, the intensity, you could think that it was overtime of a game in the final. It's just something that's so unique to the sport and can be so beautiful yet so brutal for fans at the same time.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right, and that's why, you know, we've been saying for years there's the regular season, then there's the postseason. That is the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's a completely different brand of hockey. It's not even the same. In fact, it's not even close. And I think that's why general managers, you know, they struggle with how they should construct their team. Should they construct their team that is going to guarantee them a spot in the playoffs, or at least give them a chance to make the playoffs and be successful in the regular season? Or do you want to, you know, lean more towards putting together a roster that's going to give them a chance to have success in the postseason? And look no further right now than the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, they just completely just breeze their way through the regular season. They tied the record for the most wins in the history of the game, and then they're the first President's Trophy winner to get swept in the first round. I mean, this is probably the biggest upset in the modern NHL era, unlike anything we've ever seen in terms of a dominating team go down the way that they did to Columbus in the first round. And, you know, you look at Columbus's roster, you see how big their forwards are, and you see how small the forwards are, you know, for the most part, on the roster of the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, you look at the teams that have had success, you know, you can even go back to last year and still this season in the playoffs. Washington, their forwards are huge. Vegas has big forwards up front. You know, you look at the teams that are having success right now. Nashville, they've got some size, you know, in their lineup. St. Louis, Winnipeg. Winnipeg is a huge team, as we've seen over the course of the first four games of this series. You know, and Tampa Bay, they're just on a very big team. And a lot of the teams that are struggling in the postseason, you can probably make the case that they just don't play the brand of hockey that you need to be able to play to be successful in the postseason, because it is so different than the regular season. So I don't know. It's hard to explain how a team like Tampa Bay can lose, but there's no doubt. I mean, the game that you see in the playoffs, whether it's the first period of the first game or it's game seven of the Stanley Cup final, the emotional level is unlike anything you'll ever come close to seeing over the course of the regular season.
Yeah, it was like dizzying at times to watch Tampa and Columbus and the rushes up and down and the power play units, and just it looks like a, I don't want to say completely different brand of hockey, but it's definitely something different. And Columbus, I thought, obviously, as you alluded to, is able to better match the Tampa style than vice versa, because they were whipping around, but they were doing it with physicality. And then when they got on a power play, holy cow, the way they moved that puck, and you have a weapon like Atkinson, it's incredible.
Well, Atkinson, one of the most underrated players in the game. He's a 40-goal scorer, but they bring over, you know, Matt Duchene. I mean, they're just loaded with talent. You look at the back end, you know, with a couple of guys who, you know, could win Norris trophies down the line with Seth Jones and Zach Werenski. And, hey, they got a goaltender who's a two-time best, you know, as the best goalie in the league. So, I mean, on paper, is this truly an upset? I mean, if you didn't watch the NHL and you just watched the series, there's no way you'd believe me if I would tell you that one team was the 8th seed, one team was the top overall seed in the National Hockey League by a wide margin. I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, I was talking to Doug Armstrong, the Blues GM, prior to the beginning of the playoffs, and we were talking about the parity in the league. And he even said, well, there's the Tampa Bay Lightning, and then there's everybody else. And I think that was the belief of probably just about every, if not every GM in the league across the board. Nobody saw this coming. This is a huge upset. And I'll be interested to see what it means for the Columbus Blue Jackets moving forward. How far can they take this?
And, you know, I thought that, and I think everyone thinks that Steve Yzerman did really a masterful job in putting that team together, not just in, you know, maneuvering the cap and the actual talent and personnel that he assembled, but also some of his decisions, like not pulling the trigger too quickly on a Jonathan Drouin trade when everyone thought he had no choice but just to ship Drouin out immediately. Like, I thought that he had made some really prudent decisions to set them up, but that doesn't always mean anything in the postseason. Yeah.
And, of course, now he's not in the same role as a general manager. And, you know, Julien Brisebois has taken over, even though Steve Yzerman is still involved with the organization, albeit as an advisor. So he's not really there on a day-to-day
basis. Right, but it's his foundation that's playing right now.
Yeah, 100%. It's his coaching staff. It's his players. It's his core group of players. And, you know, these core group of players, I mean, they've been to the Stanley Cup final in the past, too, just a couple of years ago. You know, Ben Bishop was the goaltender at the time, so they have some experience winning in the postseason. But for whatever reason, listen, it's hard to explain, although I just kind of said, hey, you look at their roster.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got smaller players. And Kucherov, obviously, not playing in Game 3 doesn't help. I'm not so sure it would have made a difference, though.
You know, when it comes to Kucherov or Kadri or what we've seen already in the first round, does the league, and I know officiating can be spread a little bit thin in the early rounds and in the first round, but does the league have a responsibility for a certain level and a certain expectation in these, not just early rounds, but early games in the early rounds to make sure things don't get out of hand so that A, guys are safe, but B, the best players are on the ice and not serving suspensions?
I think so. I mean, you look at the Blues getting a power play you know, late in the game last night. And, you know, there were a couple of plays after that where you could have argued that Winnipeg deserved a power play, you know, and I don't know if there was some home cooking there going on or whatever. Every game you're going to be frustrated. I mean, there were some frustrating non-calls in the first couple of games in Winnipeg. Somehow you got to find a way to play through that, because human error is going to become a part of it. And I think officials, listen, they're going to call the blatant calls, but at the end of the day, they don't want to be a big part of the story or the outcome of the game. I mean, you could argue, you could call a penalty on probably every third shift, you know? But they don't want to do that. You just want to make sure that it's evened up and fair. And I think for the most part, that's always the way that it works out. That if you're getting a lot of power plays early in the game, at some point it's going to even out later in the game. And I think, teams that are able to play through that, don't worry about the officials, not chirping at the officials from the bench and constantly allowing that to be a distraction. I mean, those are the teams that tend to have more success, Chris. I mean, teams that are complaining about the officials, it's a major pet peeve of mine. I really can't stand it. Complaining about the officials after games, whether it's players or whoever, it's part of the game, and people have been upset at the officiating in the National Hockey League for how long now? I mean, it goes back decades. You're always complaining about the officials. But the good teams, one, don't complain, and two, they find a way to play through it, even if they feel it's not going their way.
That's why I think it was so impressive what the Blues did in closing that game out in Game 2 and not giving in to anything Winnipeg was doing, because I think a lot of people were probably having flashbacks of that game. Was it Game 5 against Nashville a couple of years ago when there was a huge scrum, everyone was tied up with a partner, and somehow Joel Edmondson or Ryan Reeves ended up as the extra man, and Nashville scored in the power play.
I know. Yeah, you hope that doesn't happen for sure. I think Craig Berube has a good handle on his bench, though. You know, he's not a guy that complains a whole lot. You know, I mean, some coaches, you know, are known to be a little more vocal from the bench, and it probably doesn't help, actually, in terms of getting a call when you need a call over the course of the game. But, hey, the Blues got their chance. They've got nothing to complain about in terms of last night, because they got their chance late in the game, and they only had one shot on goal on that power play. And, you know, there were opportunities to shoot the puck, and they chose, for whatever reason, to look for a better play and to pass up shooting opportunities late in the game like that when, hey, you never know what can happen, Chris. You throw the puck on net, you could get a bounce, you could get a deflection. Just like, you know, on Kevin Hayes' tying goal in Game 3, he just flips it and throws it on net. It wasn't a dangerous situation at all. In fact, Jordan Binnington is tracking the puck perfectly fine, ends up going off the stick of Alex Pietrangelo, and that ignited the Winnipeg Jets and gave them some confidence. They eventually scored 5 more goals and scored 6 in the game.
You know what I do like, though, Strick? Like, there is a common respect between officials, players, and coaches. And I guess you could give a coach a bench minor, but it never comes to that. And when a coach unloads or speaks his piece, an official will come over and unload and speak his piece as well. And
yeah,
I hate, there is nothing worse in baseball than if a player is just saying something in frustration when they're walking away from home plate after a strikeout, and the umpire just rings them up and throws them out of the game for no reason. Like, they make it about themselves. I think NHL officials, regardless of the actual call, I give them a lot of credit for taking it, and they'll give it right back to the players and the coaches, and yeah, I'm sure after the game, some of them would sit around and have a beer, because there is a respect in that sense, and I appreciate that, because there's nothing more frustrating than some of the shenanigans we see in baseball.
Now, I think you're 100% right, because there is a culture that comes with the game, and a lot of these officials, they know the players off the ice. They know the coaches off the ice.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are on the road as well. They may run into each other, you know, at a hotel bar or out and about, and have a beer with one another.
They drink?
Maybe, whatever. I think so. I mean, a little bit of wine, a little vino. You know, never hurts anybody. But Timmy Peel's a loser here in town. I mean, he knows everybody.
For sure.
With the Blues, for the most part, you know. And obviously does a good job when he officiates Blues games. But I think you're right. You know, NFL officials, too, I don't think they give it back as much as hockey officials do, but they certainly take it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when NFL officials on the sideline or head coaches are just giving it to the referees. But the thing about NHL referees, they don't lack confidence or swagger, and they love to give it back. And they give it to players. Sometimes they cross the line from that standpoint. But, hey, man, these guys don't lack any confidence. But so probably the most confident of any sport when it comes to the referees.
We've had some beauties in terms of chirpers recently here with Pat Maroon, Steve Ott, who I think now gives it to his own team from behind the bench. I've heard some colorful anecdotes. Ryan Reeves, what is your Mount Rushmore of NHL chirpers?
Wow. Man, that is tough. You know, because, you know, unless you're on the ice, right, it's more so...
Hard to hear,
Well, you're going off of reputation and what, you know. Listen, because like a guy like Dougie Way was...
Or even someone phenomenal. That would give you the best zinger in an interview or something.
Yeah, I mean, Dougie Way, Keith Tkachuk, I mean, these guys were just... I mean, Matthew Tkachuk is unbelievable right now. I mean, just in terms of some of the stories that you hear of what he says to some veteran guys on the ice, it's absolutely hilarious.
Ask Drew Doughty, right?
and Joe Thornton, too. But Brent Burns is another one. He took Brent Burns' stick and he brought it back to the bench. And it's actually a funny story because Brent Burns signed one of his own sticks and had it sent to Matthew Tkachuk after the game. So I guess you just show you how these guys can play ball with one another, too, and how cool NHL players can be. That, you know, this young kid, when he was a rookie, steals a stick, takes it back to the bench, wouldn't give it back to him. And Brent Burns thought it was funny enough to sign a stick and leave a little note on there and have it sent over to the Flames dressing room after the game and give it to Matthew Tkachuk when he was a rookie player.
Darn cool. Strick, before we let you go, just give me your gut sense. Obviously, a home team has not held serve yet in this series. What do you think happens tomorrow, and what do you think the scenario is on Saturday in Game 6?
Well, I mean, it's so hard to predict, you know, how these games are going to play out. I think the Blues last night in Game 4, I think they played a perfect, patient game, really, for the first couple of periods. I know there were stretches where Winnipeg, where it looked like, and they did control, you know, aspects of the game. And, you know, I don't know what the score would have been without Jordan Binnington. He's been their best player, and, you know, that's hockey. You know, I mean, he's a part of the game. And when, you know, I don't always like it when people say, well, where would they be without their goaltender? Well, their goaltender is, you know, a big part of the game. And when your goaltender is typically better than the other goaltender, you win. And if their goaltender is better than your goaltender, typically the other team wins. That's just the way it goes in the game of hockey. It's no secret. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. But I thought they were really patient. And then all of a sudden they got a little impatient on the tying goal, chasing a hit at the red line with Alex Pietrangelo. You know, even if he connects on the hit there and the puck gets behind him, it's the same situation. So, you know, they got to maintain that patience and show that, you know, veteran poise that they showed for the first couple periods in last night's game. But for whatever reason, they're confident on the road. You know that. They had one more point at home than they did on the road during the course of the regular season. Scoring the first goal would be huge for the Blues to allow them to relax and maybe start playing with the lead. They hadn't played with the lead very much this entire series at all. So that would be a little bit different for them. But, again, you just got to weather the storm. The crowd's going to be absolutely crazy. Winnipeg has found their game over the course of the last two games where they didn't have it early in the series, like I said. So the same thing applies. You want to play on their end. You want to be able to wear down their D. And you want to be able to get to the Blues game, which is forechecking and you know, controlling the game in the offensive end and spending the majority of the game in their end. And if they can do that, they're going to be successful. But I would expect another close, tight game like we saw in the first, you know, in regulation yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think that would surprise anyone. Andy Strickland from the Fox Sports Midwest broadcast team. You can also hear him on 590A. Appreciate it, man. A fun chat, and we will see you at the rink on Saturday one way or another.
Always enjoy it, Chris. We'll talk soon.
Andy Strickland joining us to talk a little Blues. Mark called in and had a thought about why fans are panicked. I'll touch on that next before we get out of here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munkenass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line.
Munkenass pre-owned on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Missing O'Reilly, the Jets come in. 3-on-2, now 3-on-3. They get it into the slot. Look out, Connor, plenty of time, and a shot blocked by Parayko. Here's another chance, put on, and kicked by Binnington. What an adjustment on that save by the rookie goalie.
Jordan Binnington. Do I look nervous? Holy cow, what a game for him. We get to do it again tomorrow night, Game 5, the Blues and Jets.
We'll come your way at 7:30, 7 o'clock pregame. Skate, thank you to Chris Kerber. Thank you to John Heyman. Thank you to Andy Strickland. Ben Boyd, our executive producer, Mike Anderson's my guy here in the KMOX studios. Chili's Week in Hockey coming up next. This has been the Munganess, St. Louis Honda, and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. 24 hours from now, we'll be in the first period. Blues and Jets, game 5. Until then, Chris Rabe saying be nice to each other, and as always, peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.